This is The Bible Show.
Welcome to The Bible Show Daily. We believe in the power of God's Word, so we want to be in it each and every day. So where are we at in the Bible today, Sam?
Today we are continuing in the Sermon on the Mount. We're in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 22, and we're talking about the importance of keeping your focus on godly things.
So here it is, starting in verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Yeah, to put this together, you really have to pause a moment and see the harmonizing idea that's going on here. So Jesus starts and he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye's healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And you're like, okay, well, obviously he's not talking about like a medical thing. Yeah. Like, oh, you know, your whole body.
You'll be glowing.
Right. So, but what he is saying is whatever you set your eyes on determines whether you are full of light or full of darkness. Right. And so then he's going to go on in the second half of this passage that we've picked today. And he says, no one can serve two masters. Well, he didn't change the subject here, right? He's like, you set your eyes on things of light, your whole body will be full of light. You set your eyes on things of darkness, your whole body will be filled with darkness. No one can serve two masters. So if you were, in other words, like, let's just see where the passage is going. You can't serve God money.
Yeah.
You can't. Because if you find the most beautiful thing in your life to be financial gain, your eyes are going to be fixed on it almost exclusively. And does that give light to your soul and body? No. But if you see Jesus and God as the most beautiful thing, and that's where your eyes are fixed, then your eyes will be filled. And so what this is saying is it's actually getting to the heart of idolatry. Like, what is the most beautiful thing in your life? Where do you spend the most of your time fixated? Is it career advancement? Is it, who knows, sexuality? Is it money? Is it so many other things? If you're obsessing over that, your body will become dark because that's not meant to be the chief prize of your affections. God is. And so when he's saying this, and remember where we just came out of, it's laying up treasures in heaven. Again, this isn't a change of subject. He's like, fix your eyes on the important things. Fix your eyes on heaven. Fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on Jesus and his work and the gospel. And all of you will be set right if your eyes are fixed there. If your eyes are fixed anywhere else, then you can't serve two masters and everything will go dark. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And so the whole premise of this, and this is a true thing that's just, I mean, you find this spelled out in the scriptures, but it's just true. You become what you worship.
Yeah.
You really do. So if you fix your eyes on Jesus and you think, man, he is the most glorious, beautiful person that I could ever dream of, what he does, his character, his attributes, I'm just so blown away by him. Guess what will happen to you? You'll become like him. And I mean, and this is true. Like I used to use this as an illustration, but when we were little, right? When I was little, we'd watch Karate Kid, right? You know, and what was I doing at the end of the movie?
Probably chopping brothers.
The crane kick, like, you know, where you got the leg up and you're doing the kick. Why? Because I thought that was amazing. Or you watch Superman. What do you do immediately when that's over?
Put on a cape.
You're going to the bathroom towels and you're tying them on because you want to be like him. You saw him as the most beautiful. Like, I remember watching, you know, how many movies with my kid, Spider-Man, where right afterwards, it's, you know, they're doing all the things. That is the true nature of humanity. That doesn't just stop with children. You become what you think is most beautiful. And so the scriptures come and they tell you that one of the greatest missions for your life is to become more like Jesus. Like, that is one of the purpose statements. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. 2 Peter 1, 4 says that you are to become a partaker of the divine nature. 1 Peter 5, 1, you're a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. 2 Corinthians 3, 18 says, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for it comes from the Lord, who's the Spirit. So what am I saying? Your purpose in life, this life, is to become more like him. To become more like him in how you manage your money and how you relate to people and how you love others and how you care for your family and how you love God, how you obey, or how you surrender. You're to become more like Jesus because that is the ultimate beautiful life, right? How do you do that? And here's where that passage we just read, 2 Corinthians 3:18, hear this, because there's only one action that you do in this whole verse. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Do you hear what's going on there? What did you bring to the table there? What's your job?
Just beholding.
Just behold. Like that's the key. The Spirit does the rest. The Spirit will animate and convict and change and be like, hey, you get a clear picture of Jesus. You see who he really is. You see what he prizes, what he loves, who he is. Then the Spirit comes and says, become more like that. And you begin to change and your desires change and everything on the inside are changing. Why? Because your eyes are fixed on him. Everything inside suddenly starts to become light. But if you take your eyes off of him and you put them on the things of this world, all of a sudden your soul is struggling and you're dried out and you're enslaved and your life becomes miserable. And so what this is saying is, behold him, look at him, read his word, get to know him more, pray to him, like fix your eyes on him. It will radically transform you for the purpose of becoming more like him. Romans 8:29. Right? It says that the whole purpose of this is for you to be conformed into the image of God's Son. Romans 6:5, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. John, in one of his epistles, says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Why are we going to be like him? Because we see him as he is. And it's like, oh my goodness, you're the ultimate picture of beauty and wonder. I can't help but become like you by the animating power of the Spirit within me. So what do you take away from that?
I think I've allowed, and I think this world thinks we can live these fractured lives where we can serve two masters or we could serve 20 masters or however many we want to choose because we can all multitask and we have all of these things. We're so fractured all the time and our brains can't really focus on any one thing, which is why this makes this so difficult. And Jesus finally like, well, just put all that down. Like, just behold me. You're looking for me. So when you find me, that's why all it takes is beholding, Will. Like, you've been looking around for this perfection and everything else, and you can't find it. So finally, when you behold me, that's what your heart truly desires, and I can handle the rest. But just start there.
That's right. And it's not that you don't, it's not a Pollyanna thing where it's like, oh, just forget that you have a job and money and responsibilities and just focus on Jesus and everything will be great. Like, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is when you have your eyes fixed on Jesus and you see how he deals with money, then all of a sudden you're empowered to act like him and how he deals with money. And you see how he acts in relationships, it empowers you to act like that in your relationships. When you read Ephesians 5, you know, to love your wives as Christ loves the church, where are your eyes to be fixed? Him. Okay, if I'm supposed to love my wife as he loved the church, how did he love me? And I fix my eyes there and I'm like, oh, okay, that's amazing and beautiful and I don't deserve that as part of the bride of Christ. But I want to love my wife like that. What does that look like? I want to mimic that. I want to imitate how he is in all of his relationships. And so it's not saying fix your eyes to the detriment or the omission of everything. No, it's fixing your eyes on him that empowers you and enables you to be good and as a father, as a husband, as a boss, as an employee. That's where we're at. But if you're fractured like you're talking about, where it's like I serve this little thing and I serve this little thing and I serve this little thing, you'll be a mess. Open your eyes to the light and you'll be filled with light. Don't serve a fractured life.
So let's go to now in prayer. Lord, we just praise you that you're God worthy of beholding. We praise you that you're the God of all glory, God, so forgive us. Lord, we come to you now in confession, just saying that we are fractured souls that look for masters in all other places, that our hearts are just idle factories searching for meaning and worth and value in all the wrong places. So Lord, save us from that. Deliver us from those desires, God, and let us refix our gaze on you today. Let us see your beauty, and by beholding you, would you use your Spirit to transform us? Lord, would you transform us so all these other aspects of life would come under your control, would come under your rule, so that they can live the design that you have made for them. So Lord, we just thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Bible Show. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to like and subscribe and leave a kind review to help us in the world of tech algorithms. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We'll see you next week with another episode of The Bible Show.